It's about to get real. Let's join Deaconess Carolyn Lamb as she ministers, "There is water in the desert."
Tonight, I am going to speak on the topic, "There is water in the desert." And it's taken from Genesis chapter 21, verses 10 to 19. Water. Why is water so significant in our lives? What is water anyway? From the Oxford Language Dictionary, it says water is described as a colorless, odorless liquid that forms the seas, lakes, rivers, and rain, and is the basis of the fluids of living organisms. Our bodies are made up of about 60% of water. Now here in Bermuda, we get our water from the rain, which we use for cooking, baking, drinking, just to name a few. During the summer, when it is hot, we drink water so that we can remain hydrated. Now, I'm not a water person, so every day I have to force myself to drink water. Keyword, force. We also enjoy the seawater or the ocean. The children swim and play in the water, and some people, like me, just put their feet in. Not too keen on the water anymore. God used the water of the Red Sea, the ocean, to make a pathway through the desert for Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Once they were safely on the other side, God caused the waters to come back together, drowning the enemy. That water was used in two ways. The first way was to provide a pathway. You know, the waters came up on the side, so it was clear path for the Israelites to go through. The second reason for the water was for protection, because after they got across, the waters came back together, drowning the enemy. So they were protected from the enemy. And now on the other side, Noah was told to build an ark, instructed to build the ark. And after God shut the Noah family in the ark, closed the door, locked it, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And that's a lot of water. After the 40 days and 40 nights, God placed a rainbow in the sky with a promise that he would not flood the earth with water anymore. That's a good thing, because I don't think anybody wants to drown. I don't think that's a nice feeling. But he gave us that promise that he will not flood the earth with water anymore. But where can you find water in the desert? Come with me and let's find out together with the following 3 points. Point number one, it's hot, a desert situation. Point number two, a mirage, I see something. Point number three, the water, drink and live. Point number one, it's hot, a desert situation. Things are getting hot in Abraham's household. There's a bit of friction going on with Sarah and Ishmael, Abraham's firstborn, Abraham's seed. So before we get to that point, let's go back a bit to Genesis 16, verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." So Sarah's telling Abraham that God has restrained her from bearing. Restrain in the Merriam-Webster dictionary says to limit, to restrict, keep under control, or to hold back. Sarah is impatient and wants desperately to have a child, so she figures she could help God out and hurry up the process. So she told Abraham to sleep with Hagar, the bondwoman, so that she can have a son by her. Hagar eventually had the son with Abraham, and his name was Ishmael. Sarah didn't want to wait to find out why God shut up her womb. She already knew that she was going to have a son, but wanted it in her time and not God's time. When God restrains you or sets you aside, it's because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a work for you to do. He's preparing you as a vessel to get his word out to those that are not operating in his will and don't know him. So while God has you restrained, wait. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So wait. God was preparing Sarah's womb to house and protect the promised seed, which he promised to Abraham. Even though Abraham had a son already in Ishmael, the son of Hagar the bondwoman, Ishmael was not the promised son. When God makes a promise to you, trust and believe that he will come through with whatever he promised you. Remember, you have to trust God and believe. Because in Numbers 23:19a, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie," having their children to have the basic, whatever they need for every day. They don't support the mother. Sometimes they have two, three, and four mothers, a whole heap of children. They don't support them. Then the mother has to step up. The mother has to step up and make sure that the children get what they need and have what they need. Fathers must be there for their children. They are vulnerable. Your children are vulnerable and they need you. So you need to step up to the plate and be to your children all that God assigned you to be. Abraham listened to Sarah. But in verse 13, God told Abraham to do what she said to do. So Abraham rose up in the morning, early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar. And they went into the desert or the wilderness of Beersheba. This takes me to point two, the mirage. I see something. Mirage, a phenomenon where you think you see water. Mirages are most common in the desert. They happen when light passes through two layers of air with different temperatures. Hagar and Ishmael are now in the desert alone, just wandering about. There's no more water or bread left, so they are hungry, they're thirsty, they're hot. Where is there to go? What is there to do? What are you looking at in your desert situation? Can you see anything? Are you looking at the prospect of getting yourself out of the situation that is blinding you? You cannot get out on your own. Life is not easy. You have to go through life with God. You think you can do it. Like the mirage, you think you see water, but you can do it. You have to have God in your life to go through life. Hagar is probably feeling as if there's no hope. She's probably feeling like, "I need to get out of this place. It's too hot. I'm thirsty. My son's thirsty. He's crying. He needs something to drink, at least some water." So she feels like there's no hope. So she puts the child under a shrub or a tree, a little tree. And she goes over a little ways. She's crying too. Of course, a mother would feel some compassion and concern for her child if the child is dying. Of course, like, "I need to do something about this." So she felt there was no hope. She didn't want to see him die. Have you given up on getting out of your desert situation? God has a way of escape for you all the time. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13b, it says, but will with the temptation always also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. In other words, you might be in a situation that is troubling you. You think you can get out of it, but he always has a way to get you out of that situation. You have to trust him. Keep your hand in his hand so that he can, just like a parent holds a child's hand and guides them, put your hand in God's hand so he can guide you out of all your desert situation. Trust him. He won't let you down. He'll just bring you out of the situation. The song says, follow Jesus. Take no chances getting lost. Follow Jesus. There are some rivers you'll have to cross. Follow Jesus. There's a safe mountain plan. And if he can't take you to the top, if he can't take you to the top of that mountain, there's nobody else that can. So trust him. He'll take you. He'll take you through whatever you have to go through. So under the shrub, Ishmael is crying. Hagar is upset and she's sobbing. But God heard the lad crying, heard the boy crying, and sent an angel to Hagar. He came down to Hagar. He says, Hagar, what's going on? What's wrong? She says, Lord, we don't have any more water left. We don't have any bread left. I came over here and sat over here. I am upset, but my son's over there is dying. I came over here so I wouldn't have to see him, dog. I don't really want to go through this. So the angel said, look, Hagar, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God is going to take care of you, and God is going to take care of Ishmael, because Ishmael is Abraham's seed. And God already promised Abraham that he will have nations and nations and nations, like more than the stars. Imagine trying to count the stars in the sky or the sands on the beach. Like, it will take a lifetime and some more. So you'll probably be dead before you, you know, add up all the stars or the sands on the beach. So the angel told her, don't worry about it. Look over there. There's a spring of water. Take the bottle that was empty. I don't know how long that bottle's been empty. Because if he's dying, it had to be a little while. So he told her, don't be afraid. Take the bottle and go to that stream of water and fill up the bottle and give it to your son and you get some too. God always provides. He provided that water so that they wouldn't thirst anymore and they would not be in a dry desert situation. The water that he provided was real water coming up out of the ground or wherever it came up from, and it was not a mirage. It was for real. And that brings me to point number three, the water. Drink and live. When you are going through your desert situation, you are parched. It's hard to swallow. You're thirsty. You just want something to drink. Oxford Language Dictionary says that drink means to take a liquid into the mouth and swallow. You want water to quench thirst. You can get it and enough to fill you up. You can be fully hydrated for life. Jesus was thirsty and wanted water. He asked the Samaritan woman who was at the well to give him something to drink. Obviously, she gave him water because she was at the well drawing water. And at that particular time, the woman was dealing with natural water. But Jesus was offering her water that would change her life completely. He told her that the water that she drinks now We'll have her thirsting over and over again, always coming back for some more water because she's thirsty, naturally thirsty. But he told her, I can give you water and you will never thirst again. That water is the water of salvation, living water. And that living water is Jesus Christ. John 4, 13 and 14 says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, the water that Jesus will give you when you change your life will be living water. So you will live. You're going to live every day. And that water is going to refresh you, refresh you, refresh you every day. Change your life of sin and accept Jesus Christ, the living water. Receive salvation so that you can have everlasting life. Come out of that desert situation. Stop looking at the mirage because it's not from there. The water, the living water is there. So drink up, fill up, and live.